to describe the experience of God's people during the time just prior to the coming of Jesus, our Lord has given us a parable. A parable which we are all, I believe, quite familiar with. And dealing with the subject of his imminent coming at this period that he speaks of, we turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And there, verse 42 to 44. Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. Here is the burden of his message. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. From that point, Jesus then begins to enlarge some detail of what he's trying to talk to say. And then, with this concept of his message of verse 42 to 44, he continues in chapter 25, verse 1 to 13, with this parable. Then, he's talking about that period of time when people need to watch and be careful, because in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And there he completes what he said in verse 42 to 44. So we see that here is a wonderful parable that describes the scene of the church just prior to the coming of the Lord. The question is, what coming of the Lord is here depicted? Because when you read here, after the door has shut and the coming of the bridegroom has taken its course and the people have gone into the door, the others come to him and want to have access. Does that harmonize with the literal coming of Jesus? Because when Jesus has come, there's no more recourse, is there? But here there is a period of time in which they are saying, hey, I want to come in. So obviously, the coming of the Lord, as mentioned by Jesus here, is different to what we often imagine it to be. In Testimony Volume 2, we get the true appreciation, which helps us to truly understand the words of Jesus here. In Testimony Volume 2, page 190 to 191. The day that is going to catch people by surprise can never be the day of the coming of the Lord, because the coming of the Lord will be seen by everybody, and they will know what is happening, because even before his coming there will be the close of probation and the terrible plagues, which all are precursors to his coming, and everybody will realize, oh, this is the end of the world, it's happening. So what is the surprise? Here it is, in Testimony Volume 2, page 190 through to 191. The very question that is posed here to us in our meditation is posed in this quote. What time is here referred to? Not to the revelation of Christ in the clouds of heaven to find the people asleep. No. But to his return from his ministration in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. When he lays off his priestly attire and clothes himself with garments of vengeance, and when the mandate goes forth, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. When Jesus ceases to plead for man, the cases of all are forever decided. This is the time of reckoning with his servants. To those who have neglected the preparation of purity and holiness, which fits them to be the waiting ones to welcome their Lord, the sun sets in gloom and darkness and rises not again. Probation closes. Christ's intercession ceases in heaven. This time finally comes suddenly upon all. And those who have neglected to purify their souls by obeying the truth are found sleeping. They become weary of waiting and watching. They become indifferent in regard to the coming of their master. They longed not for his appearing and thought there was no need of such continual persevering watching. They had been disappointed in their expectations and might be again. They concluded that there was time enough yet to arouse. They would be sure not to lose the opportunity of securing an earthly treasure. It would be safe to get all of this world they could. And in securing this object, they lost all anxiety and interest in the appearing of the Master. What are we meant to have? Anxiety and interest in the appearance of our Savior. When that is lost, there is sleep. They become indifferent and careless, as though his coming were yet in the distance. But while their interest was buried up in the worldly gains, the work closed in the heavenly sanctuary, and they were unprepared. So the coming of the Lord that will take the people by surprise is the work of Jesus completing in heaven in the most holy place, and him coming with the garments of vengeance through the plagues, the sudden beginning of the plagues. This is what Jesus is talking about, and it will catch people by surprise. As it says in verse 43 of 24, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. So now, with that picture very vivid in our minds, it has to do with the close of probation. Jesus now depicts the picture of those who are right there and who are watching with their lamps, and even among those that are watching with their lamps, there is a company who is going to be surprised. Not because they didn't expect the Savior to come. When he came, they all woke up, and the bridal party went past them. But five among them still missed out, even though they had their lamps, and they had them trimmed and were watching. But then they fell partially asleep, like the other five. And the door was not yet closed. There was still an opportunity to go along with the bridal party. This is the picture that Jesus shows here. The virgins are to be considered as our understanding of what the Lord is trying to teach us here. All have lamps. What is the lamp? Thy word is a lamp to my path. So, the Bible is in the hands of these Christian people. And of course, that lamp shines, doesn't it? Because it is illuminated through the light that comes from the oil in the lamp. And that's what makes the Bible meaningful. But only five have oil in their vessels. Let's read it again in verse 4 of chapter 25. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They didn't take the extra oil in the lamp, they took the extra oil in their vessels. The Holy Spirit is the oil in the Bible that inspires it, that causes it to shine. But what is the oil and what is the vessel that the extra oil is poured into? What are the vessels? Let's turn to some Bible texts, just to use them as an illustration of what the Bible and what God calls the vessel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What is the vessel? I think we can see it's our body here. In Romans chapter 10, verse 18 onwards, it talks about vessels that are our bodies, that God makes some vessels of honor and some vessels to dishonor and so on. He's talking about the human beings, vessels. And one other final text in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, here you can appreciate very vividly that this body of ours is the vessel. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So what is the body of the wife? It's the weaker vessel. The man is the stronger vessel. So the body of the man is the stronger vessel. The body of the woman is the weaker vessel. Let's not get that confused. It's a more delicate vessel. It's not a pottery vessel. It's a crystal vase. That is the picture that is conveyed here. So vessels. So the oil in the vessels of these virgins is the Holy Spirit in the body. The human being is to have the Holy Spirit inside of them as well as the Holy Spirit being the inspiration and the oil inside the Bible light. So when you know so well when we consider this that you can have the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but unless you have the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you understand what the Bible says, you will be in sixes and sevens when it comes to know exactly what you've got to do at the right time. And as this bridal party comes along and awakens these virgins, some people know exactly what to do. They've got the oil in their vessels. As they study the Bible, they realize, this is the bridegroom. We go in and follow him. And the other ones, they don't quite understand. We can't understand. Could you help us? Could you show us? And the bridal party's moving. They've got to move on. Sorry, I can't help you. I can only recognize myself that this is it. And the other ones don't quite know what to do. Go and find them. Go and buy and find your way. Because nobody can find the way for another person. They must understand it within their own hearts through the Holy Spirit. So this we recognize is then what Jesus says in John 14, that the Holy Spirit is not just to be a guide with us in the Bible, but let's turn there to John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. When you have your lamp is with you. And it's burning because it's the lamp. But something else here. John 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. When the disciples had Jesus with him, did they understand Jesus? They made lots of mistakes about him, didn't they? And when he was hanging on the cross, all their hopes fell down because they did not have the Holy Spirit in them. But afterwards, the Holy Spirit came in them and then they understood. You can have the Bible. You can have everything with you that you need, but if you haven't got him in you, you will be like the foolish virgins. And what is his work both with and in us? What is the work of the oil both with and in us? John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. John 16. Verse 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why not? Because the Holy Spirit wasn't quite within them yet. He was only with them. But what does he go on to say? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When the Holy Spirit is in you, Jesus said, then you will be able to take the things that I cannot tell you now. It's too hard for you. You can't swallow it. You can't understand it. But the Holy Spirit will come and guide you into all truth. Things you can't bear now, through the Holy Spirit in you, you will be able to bear. Because they'll be in you. And he puts it again in verse chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How true it is, isn't it, that you can read something in the Bible and then you can forget it. You got a good memory?
I haven't got a very good memory.
And if it wouldn't be for the Holy Spirit to remind me at the right time of the things that I need to know, I would be totally confused. But Jesus said that very thing. He will teach you and bring to your remembrance how important it is to have the oil in the vessel, so that you can remember what you have learnt when you need it most. And this principle of the oil in your vessel is re-emphasized as the teaching that helps you to understand things that are incomprehensible. How many times the disciples came to Jesus, "We can't comprehend what you're talking about. Please enlarge it for us." When these things are incomprehensible and you haven't got Jesus with you as a person anymore, and you don't know who to trust amongst the teachers anymore, and you're trying to read the Bible and you can't quite make head and tail out of that, what do you need? Let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The deep things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, that we cannot comprehend with our natural study mind, will be illuminated to us by his Spirit, who searcheth all things, nay, the deep things of God. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." I love this Bible meditation. He reminds us that the things that you inside of yourself, only you know. The things that are inside of God, only God knows. But the privilege is that the Holy Spirit can come into me, and the deep things that God knows, I can understand by the teaching of the Holy Spirit within me. What a privilege. What an important thing that the ten virgins would have this. And some have it, and some have it not. Sister White says the ten virgins are the people of the church. And this should immediately arouse us. Before we come to that final end, that what Jesus says, be careful here, watch carefully, make sure that you understand, don't be sleeping and be unaware of the oil that is needed in your vessel. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the big issue, that we don't only know about Jesus and about all these wonderful truths. They're all with us. But that we have the man of the Bible inside of me, as we will continue reading here now. As the oil of the Holy Spirit will do this work of guiding us into all truth, we notice a statement from Review and Herald, what will happen to the people who have the oil of the Holy Spirit in them. It's a statement from Review and Herald, April 5, 1906. The Holy Spirit, follow carefully, what does the Holy Spirit do? We read it, he will guide you into all truth, he will show you the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit, which proceeds from the only begotten Son of God, binds the human agent
body, soul, and spirit to the perfect divine human nature of Christ. Oh, here's the atonement again.
The divine human nature of Christ needs to be bound to us, body, soul, and spirit. What a message. That's what the Holy Spirit is meant to do. To bring the atonement into our body, soul, and spirit. This union is represented by the union of the divine, of the vine and the branches. Finite man is united to the manhood of Christ through faith. The human nature is assimilated with Christ's nature. We are made one with God in Christ. This is what Jesus meant in John 16, verse 14. This is what he meant. It's beautifully enlarged in Sister White's writing. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. How will he show it unto you? Inwardly. He will take of the atonement of Jesus, the divine and the human, and he will place it inside of you as a living reality. So what happens as a consequence of the Holy Spirit inside of us? What takes place then in this amazing faculty, these amazing facilities that are provided for us through the Holy Spirit? Through the Godhead. In Sons and Daughters of God, page 34, we read it. How can man be a counterpart of Jesus Christ is beyond human comprehension. This is the big problem. It's beyond human comprehension. How can we be a counterpart, a direct, intimate connection and union with Jesus' divine and human nature? The Holy Spirit can strengthen our spiritual eyesight, enabling us to see what our natural eyes cannot see, or our ears hear, or our minds comprehend. If your mind is too short, don't worry about that. I love the story of this man that was an alcoholic, brain-damaged man who recovered from brain damage, alcoholic brain damage, because he relied on the work of the Holy Spirit in him. He was fully 100% recovered from alcoholic brain damage because of this. The natural mind, the natural eye, the natural ear cannot comprehend it, but the Spirit, which searches all things, even the deep things of God, have been revealed precious truths. By that Spirit have been revealed precious truths which cannot be described by pen or voice. How essential that those who are living just now have the oil in their vessel. If they do not, they will miss the bridal party moving on, as the five foolish virgins did. We return to John 14, verses 16 to 18, and we see indeed that through the work of the Holy Spirit, who will take of Jesus and will show him unto us, that by this method, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit can be inside of us. John 14, 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes to you? Jesus said, I will come to you. And he repeats it in greater dimension in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What does abode mean? He will dwell there. Abide in me and I in you as the branch and the vine. Abide. As an integration that only the oil in the vessel can bring into reality. This is nothing else but the words of Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Is this a mystery? Indeed it is. What is it? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery. The five foolish virgins never had it there. They only had oil in their lamps. But the five wise virgins understood the mystery, the atonement through the Holy Spirit. They had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in them. They didn't merely rely, as I shared in 3 weeks ago, in the periphery. They had the inward reality. And as they have this inward reality, there is a pulsation of amazing joy and light, which is that what our scripture reading read. Let's return there. What is this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This amazing experience that is available to those who have the oil in their vessels. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Can we see the depth of this parable that Jesus brought to our attention? The wise virgin had oil in their vessels with their lamps. What a blessing. And they could recognize, the other ones could not recognize the in-depth appreciation, because they did not have the man of the Bible in them. They had him with them. The other ones had him in them, in the light of what we've been reading. And as it says there, the light that God can bring into the glorious revelation shines in their hearts, in the face of Jesus Christ. The only place where the light shines is the face of Jesus Christ. It's only in the atonement of Jesus where the light shines, because he is the one in whom dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's the only place where the light shines, in Jesus, the man of the Bible. And that's why it says, he who has Jesus has life. He who has not Jesus in himself, but just with him, he is still short of the mark. He needs to have him inside of him. Oh Lord, grant us this. And as I was meditating about this, the Lord immediately gave me a word. Yield. That's the next divine service that I will share with you. What does it mean to yield?
If we want the Holy Spirit inside of us, if we want this wonderful thing of the five wise virgins, we can never have it unless inwardly, secretly, in our own inward mind, we are yielding. And I want to enlarge that. But let's go on with the beautiful privilege of these five wise virgins in such a time as this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16 is their manifestation. This is what it means to have the oil in the lamp. Matthew chapter 5, the oil in the vessel. Matthew 5. Verse 14 to 16. Remember, we just read that this light of the Father shines in the face of Jesus in the heart of those who have the oil in earthen vessels. These earthen vessels are then, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If the light of the glory that is in the face of Jesus shines in our vessels, what will we be? You are the light of the world. Because Jesus is the light of the world. If he's only with you, he's standing there, and that's where the light shines, and you are just standing here. But if he is in you, then that light is in you, and then you are the light of the world. And as it says, they will see your good works. So let's explore some more Bible texts. What in reality is meant with this good works, the light of Jesus in the heart, the revelation to the world of this light? How can the world be enlightened? How can the world understand what it's meant to understand? It says here, you are the light of the world. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 31, verse 33 and 34, that they will see by your good works. What are the works that they will see? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, into their vessels, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So what is written here? What will the people see? The light that is in the heart. What is it? I will put my law in their inward part. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they will do not need to be taught by any human being, but they will be being continually taught by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in them. In Proverbs 22, verse 18, Proverbs 22, verse 18. Verse 17 for some beautiful context. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Here it is again. The law will be, the words of God will be imprinted within us. They will withal be fitted in our lips. Now those two texts in Jeremiah and in Proverbs, let's connect Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 to 14. Deuteronomy 11, sorry, 30, verse 11. And there, verse 11 to 14, 30, verse 11 to 14. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. Very significant scriptures. The commands of God, written in tables of stone, were to be written into the tables of our hearts. And by being written into the tables of our hearts, we don't need to go to heaven to read them. We don't need to go anywhere else and gain any other source. They are written in our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit in His activity of this land, where it's all written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then notice the conclusion of all this, which we have been reading in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. This is indeed the culmination of how God writes it into the heart in the very messages that we've just been studying about the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He's quoting from Deuteronomy and he's saying, well, that's what we in the gospel are preaching. How that you don't have to go there and here and everywhere to get it. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can have it in your hearts. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now can you see the depth of the gospel? How many gospel preachers go about and say, just believe in Jesus and you will have righteousness. But when it comes to the Ten Commandments, don't worry about them. They are so-called gospel preachers. But here we are told plainly that is not the gospel message. The gospel message is that when you come to Jesus, you come to the understanding of His holy law as it's really meant to be. And you come to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, and as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and open your vessels for Him to come in, then what will happen? He will write the law in your heart. And now it is no longer in the tables of stone, it is now in tables of your heart. Isn't that a scripture? It's written in Corinthians. They are no longer written on tables of stone, but with the finger of God upon the tables of your heart. And now those commandments on the tables of your heart Jesus says, let your light so shine. By this means will the commandments be demonstrated to the world. Isaiah 59, verse 21 to 60, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 21 through to 60, verse 2. As for me, here it is again, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. What was the covenant? I will write my laws in your heart. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. See the wise virgins? Arise, shine. You've got oil in your vessels? Unite with the company and the light. Go forward, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. When did the bridegroom come? At midnight. One of the darkest times of the night. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Where did God show his glory? When he spoke to Moses in the mount, when he gave him the Ten Commandments, there's the glory. And every person who comes very intimately close to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord isn't just upon him, it's in him, through the Holy Spirit. And what does it happen then? That these people, upon whom the glory of the Lord is risen, they shall arise and shine, as Jesus said in Matthew. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now I want to read from the spirit of prophecy here to help us appreciate that indeed this combination of Bible texts will bring to the world in darkness the revelation of God's glory in his holy law. In Testimony Volume 5, page 455. Through to 56. God has called his church in this day, as he called ancient Israel, to stand as a light in the earth. What did ancient Israel cause the whole world to know? That there was a God among them and that they were the commandment-keeping people of God. The whole world knows that today. They know that the Ten Commandments were held by the Jews. They know that. All the churches know that. But what did that churches tell us? That was just for the Jews, correct? That's the way they reason. But God had given the Jews the position to let the commandments of God be shown to all the world. Of course, I made so many hashes out of it that God had to show them the negative way that his law still counts. And then it goes on. He calls us the same way. By the mighty cleaver of truth. Oh, what is truth? It's a painful job. It's a cleaver. It cuts. And it separates. Who likes separation? I don't. But the truth separates, like it or not. By the mighty cleaver of truth, the messages of the first, second, and third angels, He has separated them from the churches and from the world to bring them into a sacred nearness to Himself. I love that. He has made them the depositories of His law. What has He made them? What is a depository of His law? That's where His law is lodged, is it not? He has made them the depository of His law and has commanded to them the great truths of prophecy for this time. Like the holy oracles committed to ancient Israel, these are a sacred trust to be communicated to the world. The three angels of Revelation 14 represent the people who accept the light of God's messages and go forth as His agents to sound the warning throughout the length and breadth of the earth. Christ declares to His followers, "You are the light of the world." What does it mean? All the world is to be illuminated by you. To every soul that accepts Jesus, the cross of Calvary speaks, "Behold the worth of the soul. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Nothing is to be permitted to hinder this work. It is the all-important work for time. It is as far-reaching as eternity. The love that Jesus manifested for the souls of men in the sacrifice which He made for their redemption will actuate all His followers. So here we see this beautiful combination activity of the gospel with the law, written in the hearts through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the people of God who are the depositaries of His law. The world is to be enlightened by His church. And how is this going to be absolutely enacted? To really make this happen, God's going to make sure of it with His people. Let's come over to page 729, where of the same page, of the same book, volume 5, page 729, she says here on the bottom of the page, "To souls that are earnestly seeking for light and that accept with gladness every ray of divine illumination from His holy word, to such alone light will be given." To whom? Those who are earnestly searching. It is through these souls that God will reveal that light and power which will lighten the whole earth with His glory. The whole earth is going to be lit with the glory of God. There's not going to be one person who will not hear and know that these are people who have the law in their hearts. And the Sabbath, included with all the other commandments, will be demonstrated in these people's lives. Who are they? They are the people who are seeking for light and accept with gladness every ray of divine illumination from His holy word. To such alone. To who? To such alone light will be given. It is through these souls that God will illuminate. And now let's see what the experience of these souls is as God will illuminate the world. In Testimony Volume 6, page 401. Testimony Volume 6. Page 401. The love of Christ. The love of our brethren will testify to the world that we have been with Jesus and learned of him. Then will the message of the third angel swell to a loud cry, and the whole earth will be lightened with the glory of the Lord. How will they be lightened with the glory of the Lord? The law of God in the hearts of his people, which is manifested in love among that people. That will be God's way of illuminating the whole world with his holy law manifested in a frame of the gospel. It is a way in which people have an opportunity to open their hearts and yield to this wonderful demonstration of the Holy Spirit in God's people. This is God's way of reaching the people of the world. This is the method that God uses to convince the people around the world of his immutable law, in the demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a church, in a people. The wise virgins join that company. Let's read about it in Christ Object Lessons. Christ Object Lessons, page 406. The description is here of that symbol here that Jesus is watching as he tells them the story about the bridal party. In many parts of the East, wedding festivities are held in the evening. The bridegroom goes forth to meet his bride and bring her to his home. That's the symbol. By torch light, the bridal party proceed from the father's house, from her father's house, to his own, where a feast is provided for the invited guests. In the scene upon which Christ looks, a company are awaiting the appearance of the bridal party, intending to join in the procession. Lingering near the bride's house are 10 young women robed in white. Each carries a lighted lamp and a small flagon of oil. All are anxiously watching for the appearance of their bridegroom. But there is a delay. Hour after hour passes. Remember, watch and pray. You don't know what day. The watchers become weary and fall asleep. At midnight, the cry is heard. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The sleepers, suddenly awaking, spring to their feet. They see the procession moving on, bright with torches and glad with music. They hear the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The 10 maidens seize their lamps and begin to trim them in haste, but 5 have neglected to fill their flasks with their oil. They did not anticipate so long a delay, and they have not prepared for the emergency. In distress, they appeal to their wiser companions, and we know what the answer was. Then, the bridal party moving on, while they went to buy, the procession moved on and left them behind. The 5 with lighted lamps joined the throng and entered the house with the bridal train, and the door was with everything we've studied, this symbolism helps us to understand vividly what Jesus is talking about. And indeed, if the Holy Spirit is in the heart, which means Jesus is in the heart, which means that we will reflect the beauty of Jesus all around us, and I read again from Sons and Daughters of God, page 34. I'm reading now at the bottom of the page. Every heart that has been visited by the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will reveal the working of the Spirit of God in voice, mind, and character. The machinery will move as if oiled and guided by a masterly hand. There will be less friction when the Spirit of the worker receives the oil from the two olive branches. The holy influences will be imparted to others in words of kindness, tenderness, love, and encouragement. This is the oil in the vessel. And as this goes on, it will produce in the company in the light. Bright with torches, light from the glory of God, illuminating the world around them. And as they see the love of the brethren, they see this tenderness, this love, this care, this patience manifested in the time of the loud cry, they will know. And there will be not one person in the world, we're told in Sister White's writings, that will not be clear in the decision they have to make. Not one person. May God grant us to deeply appreciate this privilege of being the wise virgins with the bridal party, moving on before the close of probation until they finally arrive in their total harmony to the point where the loud cry will be given, the final glory of God shining across the world, and then the door shut. God grant us we will be amongst them, is my prayer. Amen.